Next on RadioSt.Pete.com, Peter's Proffer with Clearwater attorney Peter Tragos. The experienced lawyers at Tragos, Sartes, and Tragos discuss common legal questions, providing insight into the legal process and covering current events as they relate to the legal field.
Welcome back to another episode of Peter's Proffer here in the courtroom of current events, and Bober's back again. You may have heard him last week on China and the Coronavirus Part 2, but we're bringing him back to talk about media blackouts and censorship. You may have seen some of the congressional hearings and the questions from a lot of the senators and congressmen and women to the CEO of Twitter and Facebook about the censorship that's going on, about the media blackouts, what they should and shouldn't be doing, what their policies are. And we've got Todd here to talk about that topic because he has experience and he's seen some of this happen in China. He is our expert in all things China, so we're going to talk to him about that. As always, if there is any topic you want us to do a podcast on or a YouTube video, go check out The Lawyer You Know. Like and subscribe to that channel as well. We are here to put out the content that you want to hear, that you want to see. So just let us know on social media. At Tragos Law is our handle, or you can email me, petertragos@greeklaw.com. All right, so we're back with Todd Bober, and if you listened to last week's episode, you heard him tease a bit about media blackouts and censorship, and if you want it done right, there's only one group of people that can handle blocking a story, and Todd, you said it was the Chinese. So a lot of us have been watching some of the Senate hearings with senators and congressmen and women asking questions of the CEOs of Facebook and Twitter. Their answers can sometimes be frightening, but why don't you tell us what connection there is to this overarching media blackout and censorship issue and the connection to China?
For reasons that I don't know, Facebook used the H-1B visa program to import experts in censorship. And of course, they got them from the best place, China. Those experts used to work at the Great Firewall. And the Great Firewall is formidable. It's not saying it can't be jumped, but it is formidable.
When we talk media blackouts and censorships, and we talk a lot about what's going on in America today, and the election has just, I don't even want to say finished, but I guess we're past November 3rd, and this stuff is getting crazy. Like, people can't share stories. Other social media platforms are being created. People are saying their free speech is being violated. And Facebook and Twitter, the owners and CEOs stand up there and say, well, we're just trying to cut out the fake news, basically. We're just trying to censor out things that are inciting riots. We're trying to stop people from saying, let's get a group of people together and murder somebody. Is that really what's going on? Or are they forming and creating what we think and what we believe as a society?
You know, we've talked about this thing in a previous podcast about how social media actually formulates our view of reality, meaning that whatever I feed you, whatever I tell you day in and day out, you will eventually start to believe. Or even if you don't believe it 100%, you become immune to it, or you're numb, so you're used to hearing it, so it doesn't offend you anymore. And you know, you move a little bit, you move that that bar a little bit every day, a little bit every day. All of a sudden, you realize there's no bar anymore. You're underwater. So I guess the question I'm going to ask you, Todd, is because no one that I know, at least, knows more about the Chinese system than you do. You've done it for years. You've done business there. You have friends there. And we talked about this actually a couple times since you've been on this program. When the Chinese want to shut something down, when they don't want information to get out, it doesn't get out. Like, correct. Within moments, things get taken down. They're identified. How do you, are you seeing that stuff creeping in our social media and our mass media?
Absolutely. I mean, as we spoke about last time, the famous Tank Man picture.
Tiananmen Square,
1989. I showed that to some various Chinese people. Some of them had absolutely no clue that anything ever happened. Now, that's pre, electronic media, especially over there. But still, information leaks out, and it's openly discussed here. In the rest of the world, there are actual celebrations commemorating Tiananmen Square. In Hong Kong, they do it. But in mainland China, they had literally no clue. They have never seen that picture. Now, that was incredibly odd to me as an American, where that it's world famous and we know it. How could something that has infiltrated our society that deeply not be there? I never understood that until very recently. Now, we all know about the Hunter Biden laptop story. We know that primarily because the big tech companies and the network censored it. And
what made it almost bigger.
Right.
Which did make it
bigger. The cover-up was bigger than the actual story.
Correct. But let's say they did it for that. They were unsuccessful. What about the little stories that they didn't report? Now, I make a distinction of, let's put it this way. Broadcast networks are private corporations. They can report or not report whatever they want to a point. Now, as attorneys, we know that the government owns the electromagnetic spectrum. And therefore, the stations have to be licensed. And the license states that they have to be used for the public benefit. Now, where is that line from public benefit to making an editorial decision?
Right. To curbing the way that you view reality.
Correct. And when they all start working together, they're acting as a trust and they're no longer acting in a public benefit. I'm sorry. You as an attorney, if you have an opposing witness from the opposing side on the stand and he's saying something that's absolutely foolish, do you shut him down or do you just kick back and let him blab?
Right. We shut it down.
You shut him down?
Absolutely.
You can't shut him down.
No, you kick back
you
and let him blab.
You can't shut him down.
He's the opposing witness.
Well, I object vehemently because I don't want anybody to...
He just means he's talking like an idiot and he's saying something that's a total lie.
Oh,
you just let him lie.
Let him lie.
And yeah, because it's easy to prove when somebody's lying.
Exactly. He's making a fool of himself.
Right.
You let him go.
You got a video that shows something and he says, oh, I was never there. But you got a video of him sitting there. You just let him go off and say... I get what you're saying. You're saying if it's so crazy and such a lie and so bad, let people figure it out on their own. Let people understand. The problem is people go to the social media and these crazy people for their actual Bible-type knowledge that they just believe
is fact. Exactly. I mean, so it totally boggles my mind. I mean, we all know that the mainstream media is left-wing. They were against Trump. So you have a story that is supposedly an October surprise, but it's completely ridiculous. Run with it. Why not?
They would with anything else, because if you think about it, they're trying to make money. So if they're trying to talk about the stories that people want to hear, you just talk about all the stories, you know, what... Since we've talked about bad journalism ever since I can remember.
Right.
There's always been people jumping the gun and doing things that would just happen. Whoops, I didn't fact check that enough. It turns out to be wrong. That's never stopped news stations in the past.
Correct.
They still report on things and they still talk about things even though it's wrong, and then they get crushed for being bad journalism, which I think is what they should do. If somebody runs with a story that's patently false, crush them for being bad at that.
But I think our media has turned into a form of entertainment, not actually what it used to be, which is actual journalism.
Exactly.
But
I agree.
I'll tell you something that happened to us, and I kind of want your take on it. When right about the time where the election stuff was going on, like a day or so before the election and the day of the election, obviously we have our Facebook page and we have our marketing materials that go out there. You know, for example, a podcast that we blast out there. We got shut down. Like Facebook literally shut us down, did not give us the ability to be able to post those things during that time frame. So what do you think about that?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that because no secret, we're Facebook friends. I post a lot on Facebook. Right around the election, I started getting moderator warnings on my posts. Now, I wasn't posting to a group. I was posting on my own personal wall or newsfeed, whatever they call it.
Now.
My opinion, I was posting pictures, and actually, believe it or not, it was pictures of iPhones in Shanghai. And they were moderating it. I got content warnings on my own opinion. Now,
your opinion was wrong.
Well, it's been happening so much more just since the election. Like, I never noticed any of this stuff, but now all social media platforms are saying stuff like this. They're flagging certain posts saying this may be false information. I mean, all you have to do is watch the hearings in Congress, and you hear them talking about the fact that Ted Cruz asked the question, well, are you an expert on voter fraud? Well, then why do you say that all this stuff might be false and there is no evidence of any voter fraud?
Right.
Why don't you just let somebody post something about voter fraud? And like Todd's saying, if it's wrong and it's a lie, then you end up bashing them because they're just...
I look bad, right.
Right, then you look like an idiot, right? That's life.
Yeah.
That's life. I mean, we all say stuff that's stupid and we end up getting crushed for it later.
But is it because, as a society, we look at our Facebook, our social media, whatever you're using, and we just take for granted that whatever's being said is either real or, the alternate discussion is, we just know it's not probably not true. It's just for entertainment, and we don't care. Because I'm starting to see fact checks on everything, and I'm trying to figure out...
They're not even real fact checks.
Yeah, who's so checking the fact checks?
Who are these people? Yeah. They should be forced to give their names and who they are. And I have to go back with what we were talking about before, the fact that I'm getting warnings, and I'm sorry, I'm not a conspiracy, type guy. I left my tinfoil hat at home. To go back what we were talking about a couple of times ago, am I now an electronic loud lie? Am I now being labeled by the big tech companies, hey, watch out for Todd?
Well, yeah, that's the weird thing.
He's not saying things clear.
If you go back to our podcast back in, I think it was the beginning of March when Todd first came on, we were just shocked and floored at the stuff that they did in China to track people and to label people. And I mean, that's crazy to me, but we're not that far away from it, I think.
When you say Lao Lai, I just want to go back to, if anybody's interested, it was podcast number 109 that we did. But there is apparently a program, a social media platform, where people in China are rated, socially rated.
Yep, social credit score.
Right, and if the government doesn't like what you say, what you do, what you look like, whatever the case may be, they take points away. And people are actually avoiding other people so they're not in their sphere of influence.
There's like a little radar scope that you can literally sit in the room and if it could ping and say, Peter's Lao Lai, don't trust him, what he says or what he does. He's not trustworthy. And literally, I mean, I came on last time, is that was in development. Now it's fully going. And literally, there are warning signs, don't trust the Lao Lai and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, we don't have to rehash the whole thing, but go back and listen because it's crazy. It was a lot crazier in February or March than it is now, though, I think. And one of the other weird things about censorship is it's not just what they're blocking, but it's also what they're promoting. You go to YouTube, you go to any podcast, you go to Facebook, there are certain posts that are more likely to show up in your newsfeed, show up on your YouTube, like videos you might want to watch, your Instagram, things you may like. They're promoting certain things when they do that. They're promoting certain agendas when they put videos up top. I mean, it's very easy to see. You click the videos, they all say the same thing. You have to look for some opposing view if it's if it's what you agree with. So it's getting weird.
There's a Latin term called repetitio est mater studiorum. Repetition is the basis of learning. Basically, if you tell the big lie long enough, or if you reinforce something long enough, it has concrete value.
And I don't have any problem with people putting out videos, podcasts, whatever it may be, of both views. Some stuff that sounds crazy, some stuff I don't agree with, whatever. People watch and consume what they want to watch and consume, and you can always find the information you are looking for. What's annoying to me and what's weird is when they just crush some stories, stop some stories under the cloak of canceling or getting rid of or eliminating the misinformation, right? Because who determines what is misinformation? That's the scariest part to me because I hope it's not the government.
Because when we talk about cancel culture, which is what you're talking about, I mean, the Chinese invented this concept.
Absolutely.
I mean, they can cancel you in a minute if they want to cancel you.
Literally cancel you. You disappear. You're gone. Yeah, the phrase over there, don't be a bookseller, especially in Hong Kong.
So one of the other questions that came out of the hearing, I think it was to Zuckerberg, was you've eliminated or posted warnings that you're eliminating misinformation about the coronavirus because it's dangerous, right? And it was a Democratic senator who said, I urge you to do the same for misinformation on climate change because it is the greatest existential threat that we face, and saying it doesn't exist is as dangerous as murder, right? Because they're talking about inciting the murder and how what's his name, Bannon, should be banned. And so he wants that same thing to go against climate change, which is just purely a political policy at this point that people disagree on. So he wants to get rid of the disagreement. I don't understand that. Well, this is the type of stuff that scares me. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on, because think about it on the reverse. If you were for climate change and the big tech company was like, cancel all discussion that we need climate change because it's dangerous. It's like, what are you talking about? How can you just cancel one side of an argument?
Well, the point is, you get it. The best way to combat the other side is to silence the other side.
Absolutely.
It's just so crazy. How can you not see? It's just like court packing. It's just like term limits. It's just like all this stuff is, you can use it when your party's in power. How are you going to feel when the other party's in power? Because in case you haven't noticed, this stuff swings back and forth every few years.
But to bring it back to when we're in law school, if we all remember the famous case of the Nazis marching in Skokie, the First Amendment was put in there for offensive speech.
Right.
Ugly, horrible, offensive speech, because the Supreme Court said, is that only the horrible, offensive, horrible speech needs the protection of the First Amendment. Unoffensive speech needs no protection. Mm-hmm. So the liberals used to believe that the Nazis, no matter how horrible they are, they have the right to march in Skokie.
Right. How many NAACP cases are there involving, you know, white supremacists or the Ku Klux Klan or one of those types of organizations?
None that I know of.
Yeah.
It's just getting so weird to me. I mean, we're entitling and giving power to Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and YouTube. We're giving them power to determine what is dangerous, what is misinformation, what is true and false, that we don't even want to look at it and make our own determination as a people, basically. That's where we're going with censorship and media blackouts.
And by proxy, the CCP, the Chinese Communist Party, because these people that were hired, these weren't low-level staffers. These were experts in the field. You can take the
and we're letting them into our system. I mean, just
we're putting them in control of our system.
You know, the terrible part is, you've said it before, the Chinese march together. Culturally, they are they work collectively.
Correct.
Americans normally, traditionally, are not that way. We're all individuals.
Correct.
But it seems like, at least from my perspective, because I'm getting older now, this newer generation that grew up on social media, it is much easier to guide their thought process because they're all looking at the same stuff. They're all part of each other's lives.
It's an echo chamber, and they're hearing what they want to hear, and it's everybody that thinks like them. And it's on both sides. Everybody that thinks like them is on their Facebook, and they just keep hearing. And we talked about it today, just listening to any news station, like how your blood doesn't boil when you hear one side or the other and how annoying it seems and how crazy it seems on the right, far right or far left. And to me, it's just like people have lost the ability to make their own decisions and gather and synthesize and evaluate information to come up with their own decision. And that's what's so scary, is they're going to look for somebody to take their hand and lead them. And if you're going to take Mark Zuckerberg's hand, who is clearly only out to make as much money as possible, right? Like a lot of other people in the world, that he doesn't care. He'll bring in these Chinese people to infiltrate our system if it's going to make him more money, right? And if the left is going to pressure him to censor certain things and he's going to make more money off that, that's what he's going to do. That's just how it works.
We are prone to travel the path of least resistance. And if somebody hands it to us on a silver platter, we're more apt to go for it.
But I disagree with you. Because censoring something takes effort, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, again, I'm not going to go to the step of saying they're deliberately doing this to deliberately harm people, you know, and to harm a political side. Because, remember, Silicon Valley is very liberal. I mean, like 99.8% of all the donations from all the tech companies went to one side, the liberal side. To them, it's just normal. The abortion is just normal. Climate change is just normal. Mm-hmm. Anyone that is not that is abnormal. And to the point that without any inclusion on the other side, again, as you say, the echo chamber, but what unfortunately happens when you have an echo chamber just get louder and louder and louder. For the first time in my life, I'm afraid of our future. The violence that is coming only from the left, as much as they want to say, oh, there's a white supremacist out there. I saw the Million MAGA march that just happened there. I saw all the liberal networks go ahead. They had one sign that they could find that said something offensive. It was racist. It was a purely racist sign. When you take a look at everything else, all the other signs, all the other flags that were there, none of them were. Now, to me, that says that's probably a plant. And now, okay, little
conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
A little confession here. Well, from what I was actually thinking of doing. Recently, there was a flag waving thing right before the election on the side of US 19. I went to that, carried my MAGA flag, went and had a good time. I went up north of the liberals and I stole their thunder. I thought about if they have this again, I'm going to run home and I'm going to grab my Chinese flag and I'm going to infiltrate them and I'm going to be sitting there waving my Chinese flag just to make them look bad. Okay? A little
the crazy stuff people think about doing. This is what politics has done to us.
This is American dirty tricks politics. It's harmless, but it makes them look bad. Okay, now I personally think whoever was holding that sign probably was doing the same thing I wanted to do. You know, kind of good, but...
And who knows? And the point is, everybody's going to use information from both sides to make both sides look bad. I mean, that's...
That's politics.
Right. Well, right. And it's becoming entertainment in media. I mean, they've never had more eyes on their screens than they right. do this election period.
Correct. But when they all work together, that frightens me. And right. that's where we get this echo chamber that's just cycling and cycling. It's like harder. And then you see the violence coming down. And let's go back a little bit to the BLM protest. Oh, it's a mostly peaceful protest, the reporter is saying, as the building is burning behind them. I'm like, what? And then you see at the MAGA march, you see people getting sucker punched. You don't see that unless you're watching, you know, social media where someone posts that on the big networks. You know, never happened.
Not to be political about this next statement, but the Nazis had it down perfectly. And what they figured out was if they controlled the speech, they control the thought. They have a book burning and everybody's there having a good time. All of a sudden, everybody's against these books for God knows what reason.
Correct.
If you speak out against our agenda, it's okay to be violent. You know, the brown uniforms will show up and beat the potatoes out of you. And then it became acceptable. And so that's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid we're coming to the point where all of us, and let's be real, I think about 80% of this country is all in the middle. We may disagree on one thing or another, but for the most part, we agree on the majority of things. It's the fringe groups on the far edges that are the ones that are
scared. We're all good people.
But yeah. those fringe groups are getting bigger and bigger and having more and more influence.
Correct.
What is, and my question to you, Todd, is that the Chinese agenda? Let's get the Americans to kill themselves from the inside.
Okay, now here's where I would say, now going back to the famous Russian influence of the 2016 election. Okay, now there's a couple of good friends of mine. One's named Michael. I won't say his last name to protect him. Is he says that history doesn't repeat itself; it just rhymes. I said he's right by half. History does repeat itself in patterns. Okay. Face it, every superpower has always been doing something to kind of like stir up the pot in their rival superpower. And I say, if they're not doing it, they're committing superpower malpractice. Did the Russians buy Facebook ads to sow disagreement in the United States? Yeah, okay, they did. We did the same thing to them. We called it Voice of America. Did the Chinese, are they doing it here? I don't know, but if they're not, they're committing superpower malpractice. As we said in our last podcast there, naming the virus. Mm-hmm. They, you know, they wanted it called COVID. Zhao Lujan, he threw a hairy fit that we called it the Wuhan virus or the China virus. What did we do? We bowed. So they know where to hit us, as well as our other enemies, the Iranians, the Russians, they know. And it just is what it is. Are they stirring up these radicals? Now, again, this is some of my own observation, is the BLM protests in Ferguson and stuff like that, is I noticed a lot of the Hong Kong tactics being used, even some of the lingo that they used. For example, I saw up there is "be water" was written on the side of a building. Now, that was a term that was used in Hong Kong. Basically, be an amorphous crowd. If the police come one way, you basically go around them and go all different directions and start problems everywhere. They can't be everywhere. They just flow like water. And also, is umbrellas being used as a weapon. Now, when have you ever seen umbrellas used as a weapon in protest before in the United States? Never. But in Hong Kong, they're commonplace. In fact, they had one about 10 years ago. They literally called the Umbrella Revolution. And that was fighting some commerce deals. Now, during the extradition agreement protest, they were using them as shields to prevent the tear gas from coming at them. They were using them as, like, the old Roman testudio. A whole bunch of people would get together, put their umbrellas up. Now, you don't know what's going on under that umbrella. So, literally, it became like a rolling... Right.
They put their shield wall up.
Exactly. And also... What I found very interesting, I saw this also in, you know, up in, you know, up north of there, Minnesota, is they were using them as signaling devices. A guy would open up his umbrella, hold it up, wave it around. He was signaling something to everybody else down the block. Now, do I think these radicals know that they're being trained by probably the CCP? No, they're probably getting it from YouTube videos that are put out there by probably the CCP, putting them out there to teach these people. Now, these people, they're just useful idiots, as the communists used to say. So it is what it is. And as I going back to history follows patterns. Now, we all know the SDS of the 1960s. They were pretty radical for their day. But only after the wall came down did we learn that they were a wholly owned subsidiary of the KGB. Mm-hmm. KGB was funding them. Mm-hmm. KGB was training them. Now, it was more overt back then, but now you can just do it by making a YouTube video.
So when talking about how China tracks what people are buying, we talked about, I think, a pregnancy test last time and how they can just see everything you're buying because it's all going through your phone. We obviously have Apple Pay. We have credit cards. We have things like that. I heard somebody say, I can't remember who it was, it may have been on a YouTube video or something, that we're coming to a time where credit card companies are going to say, no, you can't put this on your credit card, whether it's a Bible or a subscription to a conservative news person or whatever it may be that company, right? Or a gun. That's what it said.
You can't do that now.
Right.
A gun.
So I guess so then that answers the question. I was saying, do you think we're going to get there? And again, that's scary because it's my money, right? You know, I mean, we're going through a credit card company, sure, but like it comes down to it's my money that I'm spending on it. Who's going to censor what I can spend my money on, right?
They already track everything, and you know this, that you buy, because how many
times... But they don't usually stop it.
No, well, they
that
do.
That I know of, at least.
I'll tell you a story. A couple of years back, I'm somewhere, I'm some outlet somewhere, outside of my normal geography, and Emmy had found something specifically that she wanted, so I'm like, okay, well, no problem. So I go up to the counter and buy it, and I get a phone call almost instantly saying, you know, Mr. Sardis, where are you right now? I'm here. Have you authorized a purchase for it was a soccer t-shirt?
Sure.
Yes, I have. Okay, thank you very much. Right. Meaning, because it was outside of my normal buying pattern, they called me as the person.
Sure, I'm sure everybody's had that. But I mean, stopping you from buying something that you want to buy. Like if they called you, you said yes, and they said, too bad, you can't buy it. That's a much different issue.
But I think Todd's going to allude to this. They've already started. There are things that they will not, because they don't agree with, not let you put on their charge.
The problem is they're couching it in safety, right? We're talking about the guns and we're talking about the coronavirus, but now climate change is going to be safety. I mean, just about everything they're going to throw into the safety category so they can stop you from doing that. And what's crazy and just fits right in with the coronavirus, and I know you said it, Todd, on the very first podcast we had about China, is there's few places you can use cash. I mean, there is some, but there's not a lot of places you can use cash. Well, now Corona, almost nobody's accepting cash. Like, I don't want to touch something you touch. So, I mean, we're really going down a line here where if we have to use credit cards and the credit card company can stop me from buying something I want to buy with my money, now I've got a real problem.
Well, as we spoke about before, think about the data that just from our buying habits and also our online profiles, and circling back to what we spoke about in the beginning, the social credit score that the Chinese have, we're building that. Imagine, you know, an app for, you know, professionals, or let an example I thought of in my head on the way down here. Imagine a car dealer. You drive into the car dealer. They have an app on their phone or their system that brought, I know they already have somebody that tells what radio station you're listening to. That's one of the things that made me think about this, is they can tell who you are, how much money you make, what your buying habits are,
whether or not you're just looking at the cars or if you're going
to
buy one.
Yeah, what you like to do, what your hobbies are. Imagine a salesman comes up and says, hey, Pete, you look like a scuba diver. You're a pretty fit guy. You look like a scuba diver carrying that big heavy tank on your back. Oh, yeah, I do scuba dive. You know, imagine the uses for that. And it's all data that we're legally leaking out. And imagine somebody that is going to be consolidating it, hopefully not the government, and giving you a social credit score.
It's just great because I'm not a conspiracy theorist and I usually roll my eyes at stuff like this, but to see it happening, especially knowing that it's already happening in China and just takes some time to get here is pretty annoying. That, and this is not, we're not even talking like political policies from the right or the left. We're just talking about literally infringing on individual liberties, you know, and that's what we have to be careful of as a society, not to give away. That's the first step over the cliff,
that's
basically,
right,
if you ask me.
Interestingly enough, the older I get, the more I see the reality. There was a time in my life where I used to make fun of my mother-in-law because she watches the Greek news channel. So I used to make jokes like, no, so now we're getting our news from Al Jazeera. Well, you know what? That's where we should be getting our news. Al Jazeera and the Greek news that are out there. Because it's interesting, like, I'll watch Fox, I'll watch CBS, and you get two versions of the same story, right? Then you turn on, like, the European news and the Greek news or whatever, you know, pick your nationality, and you get a completely different version of what the heck is going on in our own country.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing how they look at us. I mean, I actually was just talking to a friend of mine, Maria, and she was telling me about the Italian news and how they do things. And she just was saying it's amazing. Like, she told me that in Italy, there's a story out there now floating around that Melania just filed for divorce.
Yeah.
On Donald Trump.
Right. You know. Heard that on the Greek news.
You heard that on the Greek news.
Must be true.
They care about Melania over there. Yeah. All right. Well, more scary stuff coming, I guess, you know. So we're talking about something that hopefully is not making its way over here, but something to keep an eye out. Be cognizant of your individual liberties. You know, if you listen to this and you like this, make sure you can keep listening to whatever it is that you like to listen to and somebody's not censoring it.
Somebody's listening that you're watching or listening to this.
Yeah, I'm sure. Maybe somebody's listening, but maybe not. Maybe just my mom. But, okay, so that'll do it for this episode. Todd, thanks for coming in again. As always, I'm sure we'll have you back on. And until next time.
You've been listening to Peter's Proffer with Clearwater attorney Peter Tragos. The experienced lawyers at Tragos, Sartes, and Tragos discuss common legal questions, providing insight into the legal process and covering current events as they relate to the legal field. Find out more at tragoslaw.com.